Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we do invite Your presence, Lord. You are always welcome in this place. We thank You, Lord, that You have chosen each one of us. We thank You, Lord, that, Lord, You never leave us where we are. Today, Lord, we are different than we were yesterday. Yes. More into Your image today than we were yesterday, Lord. And we look forward to all our tomorrows, Lord, as we become more and more like You. That's our goal, Lord, that we could, when people see us, Lord, that they would not see us as individuals, Lord, but that they would see Your light, Lord, Your personalities, all that You are, that they would see in us, Lord, that we would draw people towards us, Lord, that they would want what we have, Lord. And so we thank You, Lord, that You've been doing a work in within us, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is having His way, Lord. You're having Your way with us. Thank You for that, Lord. Bless our worship, Lord, as we come into worship this morning, Lord. Receive the praises and the glory that You are worthy of. Thank You, Lord, for this church body. And thank You, Lord, for Your Son, Lord, that we celebrate His birth as the time approaches. We thank You. We bless You. And church, amen.
You know, it really is the day-to-day that makes a huge, huge difference in our lives. There's a quote that says, your life changes when you choose to make a change in the day-to-day. And it's something that I've heard so many people say in like business, because they're talking about how little things can make a huge difference in business, right? Like you're on time or you're, you know, all of those little things. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. Little changes in our life, I'm gonna just spend a few more seconds with You, God. Or even those little changes where we choose to say, you know what? Regardless of how I feel right now, I'm gonna do what I know You're telling me to do, because I don't know what else to do. That's great. Go after Him. You know, they say another thing. You hear people say, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it must be a duck, right? But God's wanting us to not just act like something. He's wanting us to walk in it on a regular basis. And the way that we look more like the Father on a regular basis is by knowing Him. Knowing exactly who He is. Going after Him all the time. Looking to Him in every moment. Not just choosing to come to church on Sunday, but choosing to choose God every day. I'm not just looking to come into church and play church every once in a while. I want God leading me in every single moment and every single thing I do every day. It's how we become effective to the people around us. Because if we're just acting like Christians, but we look like the world, we're no different. We're not, church. And this is something that God's been talking to especially, I know, this house a lot. I've listened back to some of the sermons in the past weeks, and they all have a common factor. And the common factor is it's really in a roundabout way, because this is not exact words from each one, but in a roundabout way, it's about the fruit we're bearing. Is it a reflection of who He is in our life? Because I don't want to fake it till I make it. I want to be 100% all the time. And that's the thing, is that is where we will begin to see heaven on earth. all the things that God's given us, all the things that he's promised, all of the life more abundantly, it's not just words on a page. It's something that's actually meant for your life. But we got to make a choice every day to say, God, I'm turning to you first. I'm not going to make the choices based on how I feel or what I think. I'm not going to do things based on what I want, but I'm going to do them according to what you're telling me. It really is that transformation of the mind that the Bible talks about. Because as you go after God, as you press in, it's not even that you really have to do any major work to change things in your life, because you'll just begin to see that as you go after him, he just begins to make those changes. He begins to touch your life in a completely different way. He begins to just give you things that maybe you never saw, you never thought, and you never understood before. It's why when a baby Christian, when somebody gets saved, why they're so on fire 100% is because they're going. But we can't become stagnant. We can't say, yeah, we're there once in a while, and the rest of the time just completely forget about the one who can make all the change in our life. It should be an everyday. Just like this song says, that's what this song's about. I don't want just a Sunday faith. I want a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, an every single day kind of faith. The kind that just presses in all the time, that looks to you, looks to God all the time. Because that's where we begin to see a change in our life.
Worship team. Actually, she just preached my message. The last two songs and what she said. So I guess this, the scriptures just be confirmation of what she says. So let's pray. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you love us and that what you've done for us and given to us, Lord. And we just praise you and worship you. Let our lives be lives that glorify you, Lord, and may this message be glorifying to you as well. Lord, I ask that you just have the people have ears to hear your message, and may it be revelation knowledge to each one of us, Lord, whatever it is you want us to know. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Woo! So anyways, God's been really dealing with me over many years. Actually, I must be hard of hearing and hard of doing. But I've learned obedience. I've learned that it's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And with this last thing, when my wife died,
I learned that you can't put your will over other people's will. That God gave us each our own will, our own path to go, and we can't ridicule or force anyone to do anything that's not against their will. But now he's teaching me how to rest. And resting is just what we just heard in the songs. We have to learn to rest and just quit all of our working and our striving to be this person or that person. And just learn to rest in the Lord and the work he's done for us and given to us. It makes life a lot easier if we just let him do our battles and we just rest in his arms and be obedient to whatever he tells us to do. So I'm not going to say a whole lot more, but I know God's awakening the people and we're going to do greater things than what Jesus did, but we have to rest in him and know who our God is. David knew who his God was when he ran towards Goliath. Goliath stood there 40 days and 40 nights taunting Israel. And everyone was afraid to go up against Goliath. But David ran towards him and killed him. And he knew who his God was. And then David was what, in the first 25 Psalms, he was afraid, you know, of Saul, and he would hide out and moan and groan before the Lord. So we all have our ups and downs, and we're all learning how to go through our journey with the Lord. But I want this message to be, I'm not going to talk a whole lot, and we're just going to read the messages, but the scriptures. But really have an ear to hear what the Lord's saying, because we all have room to grow. And with God, there is no condemnation, but we just have to learn how to repent and hear God's voice. And repent, all it is turning around and going towards God. So we'll start the scriptures, John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only unique son this is all in the Passion Translation, unique son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life." So Jesus chose to come and go on the cross for us. And it had to be the worst experience he could ever dream of, because he was separated from the Father for hours because of our sin. And he did that for us. So our lives need to be, just like the last song said, in the last two songs, we need to surrender our lives to the Lord. We need to learn to just rest in him Monday through Sunday and just be real Christians and not be, you know, don't fake it. Let's just be real and let God work through us and glorify him. And we'll go to the next scripture. And I'm going to call Christy up to be my backup in case I start crying. She will read the scriptures. Plus, you probably want to have a nicer voice to hear the scriptures from. But it says, "Don't worry or surrender to your fear, for you've believed in God. Now trust and believe in me also. My Father's house has many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly, because I go to prepare a place for you to rest." And he already has prepared a place in our hearts. He lives within us, and we can rest in him if we just let him be glorified through us. "And when everything is ready, I will come back and take you to myself so that you will be where I am. And you already know the way and the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Master, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way there?" And, you know, none of us have any trouble really believing that we're going to go to heaven. We don't know where it is or how to get there except through Jesus. But that's our faith level. We know that we're going to go to heaven. But do we know God's words, and do we follow God's word? Do we really know God? And that's where we have to have that same faith to know God in our daily lives, in all our circumstances, to live our lives according to his word. And Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way there?" And Jesus explained, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes next to the Father except through the union with me. To know me is to know my Father too. And from now on, you will realize that you have seen him and experienced him." And Philip spoke up, "Lord, show us the Father." And you know, I was talking in the Sunday school at our church right now is just like the disciples were when they were walking with Jesus, kind of messed up and bewildered and full of faith and full of doubt. And we need to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of fire so we can do what they did and do greater things than what Jesus did. And that's a gift from God. It's not what we have to strive to do. It's just what God's going to give to us through us. And Christy, you can come up if you want. So Philip said, "I've been with you all this time." Or Jesus replied, "Philip, I've been with you all this time and you still don't know who I am. How could you ask me to show you the Father? For anyone who has looked at me has seen the Father. Don't you believe that the Father is living in me and that I'm living in the Father?" So, you know, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. We have the Holy Spirit, we have the Father, and we have Jesus living within us. And yet we don't know that we have authority. We don't walk in that authority. We don't speak that authority. on a daily basis in our, you know, we are moved by the waves when they come, like Peter was when he walked on the water. I mean, none of us walked on water, and that wasn't just water. That was storm waves. So I said, at least believe in me and that I'm living in the Father. Even my words are not my own, but come from my Father, for he lives in me and performs his miracles of power through me. Believe that I live as one with my Father and that my Father lives as one with me, or at least believe because of the mighty miracles I have done. I tell you this timeless truth, a person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And we just have to know, you know, the seven sons of Sceva, they wanted the power of God, and they didn't, you know, the demon said that, you know, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? And we want to be real Christians. We want the power of God to be in our words, in our life, and not be faking it or not be mediocre. And that is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name and I will do it for you. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. And, you know, Jesus had two commands. Love the Father with all your might, soul, and body. And love others. And then he went on to say, we have to learn to love our enemies. And so we have to start asking God to let us be like Jesus, be like the Father in our lives continually, each Monday through Sunday, and love others as we love ourselves and even more. And Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do. So when the world persecutes you or comes against you or criticizes you, or when the church comes against you and criticizes you, just know that God is with you, and you don't react negatively to it. So loving me empowers you to obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me, and he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you know him intimately because he remains in you, and will live inside you. So anyways, God wants the church to awaken up to who we are in Christ. We have all authority and we have to love others. So we don't abuse the authority, but we speak God's word to our situations, to the storms, to the animals around us. No matter what's going our way, we can speak God's word just like Jesus did when he was being tempted by Satan. He spoke the word, simply spoke the word, and Satan fled from him. And I'll let Christy read the next section.
I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Soon I will leave this world and they will see me no longer. But you will see me because I will live again and you will come alive too.
Amen.
So when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father, and that you are the one with me, for I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. Then one of the disciples named Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, why is it you will only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? Jesus replied, loving me empowers you to obey my word, and my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. But those who don't love me will not obey my words. The Father did not send me to speak from my own revelation, but the words of my Father.
So I think it's really important for us to really listen to these words and apply them to our lives. And this, so the whole, the last scripture, we're just going to meditate for the last half hour on Ephesians and just really listen to it and ask God to show you anything that you need to know. But we have a few more scriptures before that. So
now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. Amen. That's right. For God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish, because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. Yet God sent us his Son in human form to identify with human weakness. Clothed with humanity, God's Son gave us his body to be the sin offering, so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and power of sin. So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the Anointed One living his life in us. And we are free to live, not according to our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit.
And if you're not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you're not of him. Now Christ lives his life in you, and even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no place with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. So God loves, you know, God's love for us is unconditional, but he wants us to return that. You know, to me, when we purposely sin, we're making a mockery of the cross. And we don't have to sin. No. Oh, Jesus condemned sin, and he had victory over sin and death at the cross. And that victory is ours right now. So whenever we sin, it's like we choose to. And that's making a mockery of Jesus Christ and crucifying him all over again. And that something is something that I don't think God likes. So we'll read the next scripture, is 2 Peter. In the past, there arose false prophets among God's people, just as there will continue to be false teachers who will secretly infiltrate your midst to divide you, bringing with them their destructive heresies. They will even deny the master who paid the price for them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow immoral lifestyles because of these corrupt false teachings. The way of truth will be slandered. They are only out for themselves, ready to exploit you for their own gain through their cunning arguments. Their condemnation has been a long time coming, but their destruction does not slumber or sit idly by, for it is sure to come. Now don't forget, God has no pity on the angels when they sin and threw them into the lowest, darkest dungeon of gloom and locked them in chains, where they are firmly held until the judgment of torment. And he did not spare the former world in the days of Noah when he sent a flood to destroy a depraved world, although he protected Noah, the preacher of righteousness, along with seven members of his family. And don't forget that he reduced to ashes the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, condemning them to ruin and destruction. God appointed them to be examples to be as to what is coming to the ungodly. Yet he rescued a righteous man, Lot, suffering the indignity of the unbridled lust of the lawless. For righteous Lot lived among them day after day, distressed in his righteous soul by the rebellious deeds he saw and heard. If the Lord Yahweh rescued Lot, he knows how to continually rescue the godly from their trials and to reserve the ungodly for the punishment of the day of judgment. You know, there's always two judgments, judgment against the evil and judgment against the righteous. And the Israelites, through the 10 plagues, were not touched by the plagues at all in the land of Goshen. And when they left Egypt, they were all healed. There's not one sickly among them. And God knows how to protect his own, and we need to trust him and walk in his ways so he does protect us. So, and this especially applies to those who live their lives despising authorities and who abandon themselves to chasing the deprived lust of their flesh. They are willfully arrogant and insolent, unafraid to insult the glorious ones. Yet even angels who are greater than they in power and strength do not dare slander them before the Lord. These individuals are nothing but brute beasts, irrational creatures born in the wild to be caught and destroyed, and they will perish like beasts. They are professional insulters who slander whatever they don't understand. And in their destruction, they will be destroyed. For all the evil they have done will come crashing down on them. They consider it their great pleasure to carouse in broad daylight, And when they come to your love feast, they are but stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they feast with you. They are addicted to adultery and eyes that are insatiable with sins that never end. They seduce the vulnerable and are experts in their greed, but they are but children of a curse. They have wandered off the main road and have gone astray. Because they are prophets who love profit, the wages they earn by wrongdoing. They are following the example of Balaam, son of Beor, and who was rebuked for evil by a donkey incapable of speech, yet that spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These people are dried up riverbeds, waterless clouds pushed among the stormy winds. The deepest darkness of gloom has been prepared for them. They spout off with their grandiose, impressive nonsense, consumed with the lust of the flesh. They lure back to the sin those who are recently escaped from their error. They promise others freedom, yet they themselves are slaves to corruption. For people who are slaves to whatever overcomes them, those who escape the corrupting forces of this world system through the experience of knowing about our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Messiah, then go back into entanglement with them and are defeated by them, becoming worse off than they were to start with. It would have been much better for them never to have experienced the way of righteousness than to know it and then turn away from the sacred obligation that was given to them. They become illustrations of the true proverb, a dog will return to his own vomit and be in a washed pig to its rolling in the mud. So it's very important that we don't accept little bits of sin in our lives, because it just multiplies and we have no idea where it will just take away the power of God in our lives, take away our witness and take away the glory to God that we, you know, that he saved us from. So it's very important as we go, forward in our lives that we just really seek the Lord and ask him daily where we stand with him. Not that we can be insecure with our salvation, but we need to be secure with our salvation with the Lord, because he's the only security that we do have. So I'll let Christy read the next one.
Write the following to the messenger of the congregation in Ephesus. For these are the words of the one who holds the seven stars firmly in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know all that you've done for me. You have worked hard and persevered. I know that you don't tolerate evil. You have tested those who claim to be apostles and proved they are not, for they are imposters. I also know how you have bravely endured trials and persecutions because of my name, yet you have not become discouraged. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning. Think about how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works of love you did at first. I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place of influence if you do not repent. Although, to your credit, you despise the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also despise. The one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully to what the Spirit is saying now to all the churches. To the one who overcomes, I will give access to feast on the fruit of the tree of life that is found in the paradise of God. Write the following to the messenger of the congregation in Smyrna. For these are the words of the one, who is the beginning and the end. Sorry. The one who became a corpse, but came back to life. I am aware of all the painful difficulties you have passed through and your financial hardships, even though, in fact, you possess rich treasure. And I am fully aware of the slander that has come against you from those who claim to be Jews, but are not, for they are a satanic congregation. Do not yield to fear in the face of the surrendering suffering to come. But be aware of this. The devil is about to have some of you thrown into prison to test your faith. For 10 days you will have distress, but remain faithful to the day you die, and I will give you the victor's crown of life. The one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully to what the Spirit is presently saying to all the churches. The one who conquers will not be harmed by the second death. Write the following to the messenger of the congregation in Pergamum. For these are the words of the one whose words pierce the hearts of men. I know where you live, where Satan sits enthroned, yet you still cling faithfully to the power of my name. You did not deny your faith in me, even in the days of your faithful martyr, Antipas, who was executed in your city where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are something among you who hold to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to eat things that were sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Furthermore, you have some who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. So repent then, or I will come quickly to war against them with the sword of my mouth. But the one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully to what the Spirit is presently saying to all the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will let him feast on the hidden manna and give him a shining white stone, and written upon the white stone is inscribed in his new name, known only to the one who receives it. Write the following to the messenger of the congregation in Thyatira. For these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished brass. I know all that you've done for me, your love and faith, your ministry and steadfast perseverance In fact, you now excel in these virtues even more than at the first. But I have this against you. You are forgiving that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is seducing my loving servants. She is teaching that it is permissible to indulge in sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I have waited for her to repent from her vile immorality, but she willingly refuses to do so. Now I will lay her low with terrible distress, along with all her adulterous partners, if they do not repent, and I will strike down her followers with a deadly plague. Then all the congregations will realize that I am the one who thoroughly searches those most secret thoughts and innermost being. I will give to each one what their works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who don't adhere to the teachings of Jezebel and have not been initiated into deep satanic secrets, I say to you, without laying upon you any other burden, cling tightly to all that you have until I appear. To everyone who is victorious and continues to do my works to the very end, I will give you authority over the nations to shepherd them with the royal scepter, and the rebellious will be shattered as clay pots, even as I also received authority from the presence of my Father. I will give the morning star to the one who experiences victory. So the one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully to what the Spirit is presently saying to all the churches.
So write the following to the messenger of the congregation of Sardis, for these are the words of the one who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know all that you do, and I know all that you have, that you have a reputation for being really alive, but you're actually dead. Wake up and strengthen all that remains before it dies, for I haven't found your works to be perfect in the sight of my God. So remember all the things you've received and heard, then turn back to God and obey them. For if you continue to slumber, I will come to you like a thief, and you'll have no idea at what hour I will come. Yet there are still a few in Sardis who have remained pure. They will walk in fellowship with me in brilliant light, for they are worthy. And the one who experiences victory will be dressed in white robes, and I will never erase your name from the book of life. I acknowledge your name before the Father and his angels. So the one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully to what the Spirit is now saying to all the churches. So that the scripture says, I will never erase your name from the book of life. So that means our names can be erased. That would be a terrible thing to think you're right with God and meet him and then not be there with him. So the one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully to the Spirit, what the Spirit is now saying to all the churches. Write the following to the messenger of the congregation of Philadelphia. For these are the solemn words of the Holy One, the true one, who has David's key, who opens doors that none can shut and who closes doors that none can open. I know all that you've done. Now I have set before you a wide open door that none can shut. For I know that you possess only a little power. Yet you've kept my word and haven't denied my name. Watch how I deal with those in the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews but are not, for they are lying. I will make them come and bow down at your feet and acknowledge how much I've loved you. Because you've passionately kept my message of perseverance, I will also keep you from the hour of proving that is coming into the best, to the test every person on earth. But I come swiftly, so cling tightly to what you have, that no one may seize your crown of victory. For the one who is victorious, I will make you to be a pillar in the sanctuary of my God, permanently secure. I will write on you the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, descending from my God out of heaven. And I'll write my own name on you. So the one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully to what the Spirit is now saying to all the churches. Write the following to the messenger of the congregation of Laodicea, for these are the words of the Amen. The faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation, I know all that you do, and I know that you are neither frozen in apathy or fervent with passion. How I wish you were either one or the other. But because you are neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. For you claim I'm rich and getting richer. I don't need a thing. Yet you are clueless that you're miserable, poor, blind, barren, and naked. So I counsel you to purchase gold perfected by fire so that you may be truly rich. Purchase a white garment to cover your and clothe your shameful Adam sickness, nakedness. Purchase eye salve to be placed over your eyes so that you can truly see. All those I dearly love, I unmask and train. So repent and be eager to pursue what is right. Behold, I'm standing at the door, knocking. If your heart is open to hear my voice, you will open the door within, and I will come into you and feast with you, and you will feast with me. And to the one who conquers, I will give the privilege of sitting with me on my throne, just as I conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. The one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully to what the Spirit is now saying to the churches. So these are all guidance and direction and warnings from God to all of us. So as we proceed with our life, just take heart to what God is asking us to do, to repent. It's simply saying repent if we're in any of those areas. And now 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, now your souls will be strengthened and healed if you hold steadfast your faith. Haven't you already experienced Jesus Christ himself living in you? If not, you are deficient. And so we're going to go into the book of Ephesians, and neither one of us are going to read it. It's read by a professional. And just contemplate, meditate where you're at with God, because we're all at different places, and no one can condemn one another. It's only by Christ that we are even able to stand here and worship God. So I'll let, one more scripture. So now your souls be, let's see, this is a Matthew. Are you weary? Okay. Sorry. That's it. Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You'll find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. So God is not our taskmaster. And we don't have to work and strive to please him and to love him. We just have to give our lives, just like the song said, surrender everything we have to him and trust him that he'll take care of us. So as we listen to the Ephesians, just it's a really good book. It explains how to run your Christian life. And it's really, I got a lot out of it. So just ask God to reveal whatever it is in your lives that he wants you to change or to grow in or to or be blessed with. And I just thank you for letting me speak to you, and Lord willing that God will make lots of changes in our awakening.
The book of Ephesians, the Passion Translation. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's introduction. Dear friends, my name is Paul, and I was chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus the Messiah. I'm writing this letter to all the devoted believers who have been made holy by being one with Jesus, the Anointed One. May God himself, the Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, release grace over you, and impart total well-being into your lives. Our sonship and the Father's plan. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because He sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate Him with all our hearts. And in love, He chose us before He laid the foundation of the universe. Because of His great love, He ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in His eyes, with an unstained innocence. For it was always in His perfect plan to adopt us as His delightful children, through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that His tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify His grace. But the same love He has for the beloved Jesus, He has for us. And this unfolding plan brings Him great pleasure. Since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of redemption by His blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of His grace. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. And through the revelation of the Anointed One, He unveiled His secret desires to us, the hidden mystery of His long-range plan, which He was delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax, when God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as His own inheritance. Before we were even born, He gave us our destiny, that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in His heart. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to long for the messianic hope, would be the first to believe in the Anointed One and bring great praise and glory to God. And because of Him, when you, who are not Jews, heard the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. He is given to us like an engagement ring, as the first installment of what's coming. He is our hope promise of a future inheritance, which seals us until we have all of redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all for the supreme glory and honor of God. Paul prays for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Because of this, since I first heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your tender love towards all His devoted ones, my heart is always full and overflowing with thanks to God for you as I constantly remember you in my prayers. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation, to know Him through your deepening intimacy with Him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of His calling, that is, the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that He finds in us, His holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted Him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now He is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. And He alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the church. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given Him the highest rank above all others. And now we, His church, are His body on the earth, and that which fills Him who is being filled by it. Ephesians chapter 2. God's power raised us from the dead. and his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, customs, and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm, who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children subject to God's wrath like everyone else. But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, He united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by His wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the Exalted One, and we ascended with Him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite riches of His grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved by faith. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. We have become His poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny He has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. A new humanity. So don't forget that you were not born as Jews and were uncircumcised. Circumcision itself is just a work of man's hands. You had none of the Jewish covenants and laws. You were foreigners to Israel's incredible heritage. You were without the covenants and prophetic promises of the Messiah, the promised hope, and without God. Yet, look at you now. Everything is new. Although you were once distant and far away from God, now you have been brought delightfully close to Him through the sacred blood of Jesus. You have actually been united to Christ. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ. By dying as our sacrifice, He has broken down every wall of prejudice that separated us and has now made us equal through our union with Christ. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of His precious body on the cross. The legal code that stood condemning every one of us has now been replaced by His command. His triune essence has made peace between us by starting over, forming one new race of humanity, Jews and non-Jews, fused together in Himself. Two have now become one, and we live restored to God and reconciled in the body of Christ. Through His crucifixion, hatred died. For the Messiah has come to preach this sweet message of peace to you, the ones who were distant and to those who are near. And now, because we are united to Christ, we both have equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. So you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the Holy Ones, with all the rights as family members of the household of God. You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple, and your lives have been built up together upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ Himself. This entire building is under construction and is continually growing under His supervision until it rises up, completed as the holy temple of the Lord Himself. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, His dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. Ephesians chapter 3, the divine mystery. Beloved friends, because of my love for Jesus Christ, I am now His prisoner for the sake of all of you who are not Jews, so that you will hear the gospel that God has entrusted to me to share with you. But this wonderful mystery, which I briefly described, was given to me by divine revelation, so that whenever you read it, you will be able to understand my revelation and insight into the secret mystery of the Messiah. There has never been a generation that has been given the detailed understanding of this glorious and divine mystery until now. He kept it secret until this generation. God is revealing it only now to his sacred apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. Here's the secret. The gospel of grace has made you, non-Jewish believers, into co-heirs of his promise through your union with him. And you have now become members of his body, one with the Anointed One. I have been made a messenger of this wonderful news by the gift of grace that works through me. Even though I am the least significant of all his holy believers, this grace gift was imparted when the manifestation of his power came upon me. Grace alone empowers me so that I can boldly preach this wonderful message to non-Jewish people, sharing with them the unfading, inexhaustible riches of Christ, which are beyond comprehension. My passion is to enlighten every person to this divine mystery. It was hidden for ages past until now, and kept a secret in the heart of God, the Creator of all. The purpose of this was to unveil before every throne and rank of angelic orders in the heavenly realm God's full and diverse wisdom revealed through the Church. This perfectly wise plan was destined from eternal ages and fulfilled completely in our Lord Jesus Christ, so that now we have boldness through him and free access as kings before the Father because of our complete confidence in Christ's faithfulness. My dear friends, I pray that you will remain strong and not be discouraged or ashamed by all that I suffer on your behalf, for it is for your glory. Paul prays for love to overflow. So I kneel humbly in awe before Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on the earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love, how enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest requests, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ, and all will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Our divine calling. As a prisoner of the Lord, I plead with you to walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank given to you in your divine calling. With tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love towards one another, especially towards those who may try your patience. Be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace, being one body and one spirit, as you were all called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. For the Lord God is one, and so are we, for we share in one faith, one baptism, and one Father. And he is the perfect Father who leads us all, works through us all, and lives in us all. The grace gifts of Christ. And he has generously given each one of us supernatural grace, according to the size of the gift of Christ. This is why he says, he ascends into the heavenly heights, taking his many captured ones with him, and gifts were given to men. He ascended means that he returned to heaven after he had first descended from the heights of heaven, even to the lower regions, namely the earth. The same one who descended is also the one who ascended above the heights of heaven in order to begin the restoration and fulfillment of all things. And he has appointed some with grace to be apostles, and some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. These grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness into the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. And finally, we become one into a perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed into the abundance of Christ. And then our immaturity will end, and we will not be easily shaken by trouble, nor led astray by novel teachings or by the false doctrines of deceivers who teach clever lies. But instead, we will remain strong and always sincere in our love as we express the truth. All our direction and ministries will flow from Christ and lead us deeper into him, the anointed head of his body, the church. For his body has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love. Our new life in Christ. So with the wisdom given to me from the Lord, I say, you should not live like the unbelievers around you who walk in their empty delusions. Their corrupted logic has been clouded because their hearts are so far from God. Their blinded understanding and deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from the true knowledge of God. Because of spiritual apathy, they surrender their lives to lewdness, impurity, and sexual obsession. But this is not the way of life that Christ has unfolded within you. If you have really experienced the Anointed One and heard his truth, it will be seen in your life. For we know that the ultimate reality is embodied in Jesus. And he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. So discard every form of dishonesty and lying, so that you will be known as one who always speaks the truth, for we all belong to one another. But don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fuel for revenge, not for even a day. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. If any one of you has stolen from someone else, never do it again. Instead, be industrious, earning an honest living, and then you'll have enough to bless those in need. And never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted his holy influence in your life. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults. But instead be kind and affectionate towards one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Ephesians 5, living in God's love. Be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters, and continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ, for he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God, like an aroma of adoration, a sweet healing fragrance. And have nothing to do with sexual immorality, lust, or greed. For you are his holy ones, and let no one be able to accuse you of them in any form. Guard your speech. Forsake obscenities and worthless insults. These are nonsensical words that bring disgrace and are unnecessary. Instead, let worship fill your heart and spill out of your words. For it has been made clear to you already that the kingdom of God cannot be accessed by anyone who is guilty of sexual sin or who is impure or greedy. For greed is the essence of idolatry. How could they expect to have an inheritance in Christ's kingdom while doing those things? Living in God's light. Don't be fooled by those who speak their empty words and deceptive teachings, telling you otherwise. This is what brings God's anger upon the rebellious. Don't listen to them or live like them at all. Once your life was full of sin's darkness, but now you have the very light of our Lord shining through you because of your union with him. Your mission is to live as children flooded with his revelation light, and the supernatural fruits of his light will be seen in you: goodness, righteousness, and truth. Then you will learn to choose what is beautiful to our Lord. And don't even associate with the servants of darkness, because they have no fruit in them. Instead, reveal truth to them. The very things they do in secret are too vile and filthy to even mention. Whatever the revelation light exposes, it will also correct. And everything that reveals truth is light to the soul. This is why the scripture says, "Arise, you sleeper, rise up from your coffin, and the Anointed One will shine his light into you." Living in God's wisdom. So be very careful how you live, not being like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom. For we are living in evil times. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purpose. And don't live foolishly, for then you will have discernment to fully understand God's will. And don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled continually with the Holy Spirit, and your hearts will overflow with a joyful song to the Lord. Keep speaking to each other with words of scripture, singing the psalms with praises and spontaneous songs given by the Spirit. Always give thanks to Father God for every person he brings into your life, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Loving relationships. And out of your reverence for Christ, be supportive of each other in love. For wives, this means being devoted to your husbands, like you are tenderly devoted to our Lord. For the husband provides leadership for the wife, just as Christ provides leadership for his church, as the Savior and reviver of the body. In the same way the church is devoted to Christ, let the wives be devoted to their husbands in everything. And to the husbands, you are to demonstrate love for your wives with the same tender devotion that Christ demonstrated to us, his bride. For he died for us, sacrificing himself to make us holy and pure, cleansing us through the showering of the pure water of the Word of God. All that he does in us is designed to make us a mature church for his pleasure, until we become a source of praise to him, glorious and radiant, beautiful and holy, without fault or flaw. Husbands have the obligation of loving and caring for their wives the same way they love and care for their own bodies. For to love your wife is to love your own self. No one abuses his own body, but pampers it, serving and satisfying its needs. That's exactly what Christ does for his church. He serves and satisfies us as members of his body. For this reason, a man is to leave his father and his mother and lovingly hold to his wife, since the two have become joined as one flesh. Marriage is the beautiful design of the Almighty, a great mystery of Christ and his church. So every married man should be gracious to his wife, just as he is gracious to himself, and every wife should be tenderly devoted to her husband. Ephesians chapter 6. Love in our families and workplaces. Children, if you want to be wise, listen to your parents and do what they tell you, and the Lord will help you. For the commandment, honor your father and your mother, was the first of the Ten Commandments with a promise attached. You will prosper and live a long, full life if you honor your parents. Fathers, don't exasperate your children, but raise them up with loving discipline and counsel that brings the revelation of our Lord. Those who are employed should listen to their employers and obey their instructions with great respect and honor. Serve them with humility in your hearts, as though you were working for the master. Always do what is right, and not only when others are watching, so that you may please Christ as his servants by doing his will. Serve your employers wholeheartedly and with love, as though you were serving Christ and not men. Be assured that anything you do that is beautiful and excellent will be repaid by our Lord, whether you are an employee or an employer. And to the caretakers of the flock, I say, do what is right with your people by forgiving them when they offend you, for you know there is a master in heaven that shows no favoritism. Spiritual warfare. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in you and through you. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us, so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides, so you're protected as you confront the slanderer, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the Spirit, as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all his believers. And pray also that God's revelation would be released through me every time I preach the wonderful mystery of the hope-filled gospel. Yes, pray that I may preach the wonderful news of God's kingdom with bold freedom at every opportunity, even though I am chained as a prisoner. I am his ambassador. The messenger, Tychicus. I'm sending you a dear friend, Tychicus. He is a beloved brother and trustworthy minister in our Lord Jesus. He will share with you all the concerns that I have for your welfare and will inform you of how I am getting along. And he will also prophesy over you to encourage your hearts. So may God shower his peace upon you, my beloved friends, and may the blessings of faith and love fill your hearts from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus the Messiah, Abundant grace will be with you all, as each of you love our Lord Jesus Christ without corruption. Amen. Love in Christ, Paul.
So I hope we all get awakened more and go to the next level with our Father and just be real Christians. And not that we're not already, but we all have room to grow in our journey. So anyways, I'll pray for the food and we can be dismissed.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.